This is your Union 5, 5 minutes of Union news and views. UFCW 555, United Food and Commercial Workers, announced that they had reached a tentative agreement with Fred Meyers and that the boycott that they called on the 22nd was to be considered over. Details about the tentative agreement have yet to be released because workers have to review them and ratify them. Wages were a chief concern as Fred Meyers could barely pay minimum wage to its lowest paid workers. But also, as I discussed last week with UFCW's Kelly McAllister, there is a wage gap between what men on average earn and what women on average earn. I guess in the coming days and weeks, we'll discover what the workers, with the backing of a boycott and the promise of a strike, were able to achieve. Up until last week, over 80,000 Kaiser workers across the country and over 8,000 Kaiser workers in Oregon and Washington were poised to go on strike on October 14th. A coalition of unions representing workers who were largely not doctors, nurses, or mental health care workers reached a tentative agreement that the workers still have to ratify by the end of October. Kaiser, like Kroger, is a multi-billion dollar organization, with billions of dollars in profits in recent years, and a CEO that boasts a salary over $15 million. For the last couple years, workers have been struggling for decent raises, a ban on subcontracting, an end to shrinking labor budgets driven by automation and technological unemployment, and lower healthcare costs for consumers, whose money should go to higher wages and better staffing, but not Kaiser's profits. This weekend, as UFCW and Kroger came to their tentative agreement, Oregon University workers represented by SCIU 503 came to a tentative agreement with university administration. 4,500 classified staff, which includes janitors, food service workers, secretaries, and other non-teaching staff, were poised to strike today. And because they had the backing of students, the teaching staff, and political representatives, they were able to get higher raises, keep their meal costs the same, avoid cuts to their health care, pension, and time off benefits, and take a community stand against the corporate priorities of the university's budget. The United Auto Workers strike against General Motors enters its third week today. The main issues are health care costs, GM wants to transfer more of the cost onto workers, building more vehicles in the United States, staving off a decades-long trend of sending production overseas. As usual, wages are a sticking point, and what management proposes to give workers is not what they want or need. But the underdog issue of this strike has got to be the way that the workers are taking on the use of tiered wage structures and temporary workers. GM has sought to reduce labor costs, and the union has sought to protect the benefits and wages of its existing workers by allowing more temporary workers and by paying newer workers less than veteran workers. This has led to a situation where people are working side by side, doing the exact same work, making dramatically different amounts of money. Temporary workers make between $15 and $19 an hour, while so-called legacy workers, regular union workers who were hired before 2007, make between $28 and $33 an hour for the same work. Meanwhile, union workers who were hired since 2007 start at $17 an hour and can make up to $28 an hour, but only after working for 8 years. Tiered wage scales, temporary workers, these have long been divide-and-conquer tactics in a strategy of stratification, and GM is far from the only employer to use them to exploit the working class. The wage gap, for example, that UFCW found at Fred Meyer between men and women is a consequence of the underlying tiered wage structure there. The excessive use of temporary workers also allows employers to break workgroup solidarity, to pay some workers who are doing the exact same work less than their union counterparts, and they have far less job security even when they're legally entitled to things like sick leave. That's why over 2 years ago, on-call and temp workers for Multnomah County voted to join AFSCME Local 88. The ostensibly progressive employer has fought the workers nearly every step of the way. For years, they wouldn't even begin to recognize the workers as eligible for being part of the bargaining unit because they said that they don't do the same work, even though many workers, just as in GM's case, will work years in a job, picking up shifts and temporary jobs. At the beginning of this year, we saw the county begin to backpedal its ridiculous arguments that the workers don't, quote-unquote, share a community of interests with regular workers. But every step of the way, the employer has sought to exclude workers from the union by refusing to recognize this or that department. And to this day, workers are still organizing and pressuring the county to recognize everyone who wanted to be a part of the union. As AFSCME Local 88 heads into bargaining this next year, it'd be good to remember the 40-year anniversary of the momentous 1980 AFSCME Local 88 strike, when county workers who control the bridges showed up for work, raised the bridges, locked the doors, the Teamsters jackknifed semis across the other bridges, and Portland was paralyzed. The strike won. For the Old Mole Variety Hour, this has been Joe Clement with your Union 5.
You've got to join that one big union. You've got to join it by yourself. Everybody here will join in with you. You've got to join the one big union by yourself. If the road gets rough and rocky, if the hills get steep and high, we will sing as we go marching, that we'll win one big union by and by.